I can't wait to tell you what I came to tell you this morning. I can't wait. Oh my goodness. Don't we appreciate the presence of the Lord? You know, last week we talked about Jesus breaking every fetter. Guess how he breaks them? By the anointing. By the anointing. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I had a bunch of things I wanted to say, but I think we're just going to jump right in with both feet and get into this message. Oh, Lord. When I was a girl, 15 or so, before my grandma Nail died, she was a very wise woman. She sat right about there when we had three rows of pews across. And one day I said, Grandma, this was after Brother Watson appointed me to be the pianist. And I said, but Grandma, I don't know anything and I'm not very good. That was the understatement of the year. And she said, Jesus didn't ask you to be the best. He asked you to be faithful. And I think her words were true. And I thank you for your faithfulness this morning. I so thank you for your faithfulness. And I know that God has blessed you for it, but I appreciate it. Father, I just ask you now to let your anointing fall on me, on this message, on this congregation, Lord. Every word, that we may see your glory in Jesus' name. If you would turn to Exodus chapter 30, we're going to talk about the altar of incense. And you might have noticed that we have an altar set up here this morning. We're going to talk about it. In this chapter of Exodus 30, God is commissioning Moses to build the altar of incense for the tabernacle. Now, at this point in time, the tabernacle was a tent. And of course, this is a very rough replica, if you might accept it as that. But we're going to talk about it in a minute. Verse 23 through 29 is going to be our text. Take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half as much, 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, and of olive oil, take a hin, H-I-N, which is 6 quarts, and thou shalt make it a holy oil, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be a holy anointing oil, and thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table, and all his vessels, and the altar of incense. And thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whatsoever touches them shall be holy. And drop down to verse 36. He shall beat it up into a fine powder, talking of all of the spices, of sweet smells, where I will meet with you. And it shall be unto you most holy. Now, this compound mixture of oil and sweet smelling spices was to be put inside a golden incense burner, which God had also commissioned Moses to build, and it would be lit from the coals off of the altar of worship, which was outside of the tabernacle in the front. And then the golden incense burner was to be put on a table just in front of the Ark of the Testament, or the Ark of the Covenant, where the mercy seat was inside the Holy of Holies. And the fire was to be tended to twice per day so that it burned continually unto the Lord as prayers and worship going up. God was very serious about this process and about this anointing. Oil mixed with spices, sweet, holy anointing oil. We read that it was to be put upon everything in the tabernacle, every station, every element that was used in service or in worship was to be anointed with this oil compound. All the priests, their clothing, everything was to be anointed with this oil. And the Bible said that anything that touched any of these anointed things were holy. They became holy as a transference of the anointing oil that was placed on these things. The symbolism of this was so beautiful because, of course, it's a picture of Christ sitting upon the mercy seat. And as we offer our worship and our prayers and we lift our holy hands unto the Lord in praise, it rises to his throne as a sweet-smelling savor. What a beautiful picture. In Luke chapter 4, Don, this is taking my breath away. This is the strongest smelling incense I've ever come across. Not that I'm an incense, but you see the smoke. Can everyone see the smoke? That's the intent of it this morning. So if you could extinguish it, because it's taking my breath away. I'm sorry. Oh, goodness. I didn't mean to drive everybody out with this. With the smell, but whoo, I know, whew, goodness. Luke chapter 4, Jesus had been in the wilderness fasting and praying when he was tempted by the devil in this chapter, and afterwards he went to Nazareth, to his hometown, and he preached his first sermon there, and he took the book of Isaiah out of the minister's hands, and he began to read it, as recorded in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me, this is Jesus speaking, from a quote in the book of Isaiah, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God, was anointed to preach, to teach, to serve, and to die. But it doesn't stop there, because we are anointed also. 1 John 2:20 says, but you, believers, have an unction from the Holy One. I looked up what the word unction here means, and it is translated charisma, where we get the word charisma. And it means to smear on a thick scented ointment, the same ointment of the Holy Spirit from which flows all the gifts and graces of the church, And it is the same which is typified in the text that we read in Exodus 30, 23 through 25. It's the same unction, the same anointing, the same Holy Spirit as God instructed Moses to anoint everything in the tabernacle with. But it had to have smelled better than this. Anointing is what separates the church from the world. There are many, many good people in the world, of course. There's some stinkers too, but there are many good people. So why is the church different? It's because of the presence of the Lord, the anointing of God. So not only are the things of God anointed, Jesus anointed, and we are anointed with that same thick, sweet-smelling ointment of the Holy Spirit as the body of Christ. Verse 27 in 1 John 2 says, "But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and the same anointing teaches you of all things and is truth, and it is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him." In John chapter 14, as Jesus was preparing his disciples for his final departure from them, and he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. But I will send the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, and he is the anointer, that thick, sweet-smelling balm whom the Father will send in my name." The stuff got in my throat. I'm sorry about that. Wow. But I tell you this. In this chapter, in this John 14, Jesus gave us his power of attorney. Think of it. He said, "Greater things will you do through the anointing that will dwell in you than I have done for the glory of God." Not so that we have notoriety, not so that we have power over people or anything else, but for the glory of God. And I'm here to tell you today, we have been saying that the glory of God is coming back to the church in a mighty way, and I believe it with my whole heart. This is why Jesus has sifted the church, how Don was just talking about the body of Christ and those who have fallen. And you know, when you see something like this, I told Doug the other day, it's like when you have to discipline your child. It breaks your heart. You don't want to have to hurt your child, but you know that if you don't, you have missed it as a father. You haven't done the right thing, or mother, whatever the case may be. Jesus has sifted the church, the wheat from the chaff. This is exactly what the Bible says, the sheep from the goats. But he has preserved a remnant, anointed with the Spirit of God to carry forth his will, to carry forth the glory and the miracles that he's bringing back to the church. And I believe it with my whole heart. I absolutely do. But we must contend for that faith, for that anointing. We have to want it, as we sang about this morning. I want your presence, Lord. And one more thing, we cannot be distracted by the things we see with our eyes in this world, because they are deceiving. done by evil, done by Satan, we know that, to deceive the church. We cannot look at that, cannot pay attention to that, because God is a spirit, the anointing is the spirit, and we need to look to him. Our country's deliverance is not going to come through a man. It is not going to come through a government agency with three letters on it. It's not going to come from the Supreme Court. It is going to come through the Church of God, praying for the anointing, standing for the anointing, and acting in the anointing. God will perform his word. He will deliver. So as I said, you may have noticed this little altar here in front of us this morning. And I'm going to tell you what that is all about. I recently heard someone say that before they pray, they decree before the Lord and they say, no enemy, no spirit, no evil force will interrupt my prayer, will intercept my prayer, but my prayers will go between my spirit and the heart of God directly without interference. And when I came to the church on Thursday morning, as I've told you, my habit is usually between Tuesdays and Thursdays, I'm here several days. And on Thursday morning, I came in, and every single time I come, the anointing falls like a blanket. I'm not joking. It does. And this morning, I prayed this prayer, this Thursday morning, and I began walking the circle, just praying and praising and, you know, entering into a time of prayer and worship with the Lord. And I always walk the perimeter of the building and just around and around and around. And I had probably gone around six times. And on the seventh time, I walked past the sound booth and I opened my eyes. Half the time I have my eyes closed. Thank the Lord the anointing protects me, because I almost fell off my feet right there a few minutes ago. But my eye caught this little basket, and there are some stones in it of some kind, glass little beads or something. And the Holy Spirit just prompted me to stop and put my hands in that basket and just rub those stones around in my hand. And then he said, pick up two stones to represent the two most burdensome prayers that I am praying right now. And I can tell you who they are, but I will not. And carry those around in your hand as you walk and pray. And I did, and I made three or four more laps around with these stones in my hands, praying. And I said, Lord, touch these. They're so desperately in need of your spirit and your word and deliverance, Lord. Touch them. And I came down to the front here, and I was just standing with them in my hand, and the Lord said, place them on the altar. And you see one stone here is green. I had them in this hand, actually. This one is green, the one I picked up first. And this one is sort of a coral color, which I picked up second. And the Lord just said, lay them on the altar, just like this. And go get the basket full of the beads and bring them down and put the basket in the middle on the altar. So I did. And I've left these here for you to take stones for your most pressing needs, for your most pressing prayers that you have on your heart. And I have here some anointing oil. Smells way better than this incense, I guarantee you. Oh, brother. There we go. I had it open on Thursday. And it's just a tiny little bit of oil. You can just rub it on your hands. It smells so sweet and beautiful, how I'm sure the one in the tabernacle smelled so much better. And then you can pick up your stone. And you can anoint it with the oil. And you can ask the Lord to touch these. We know this is symbolic. There's no power in the oil. There's no power in the stones. We know it's symbolic. But I also know the Lord told me to do this. And I'm going to ask you if you would come and pick up a little bit of the oil on your hands and rub it. And pick up a stone or two, however many you feel you'd like. Anoint your stone and pray over your stone. You know, 8 or 10 years ago, I can't remember when, it may have been even later or longer ago than that, Jim wrote a song. In the 45 years I was married to him, it was the only song I knew that he ever wrote. Well, that's not true. There was another one, but it was awful, and we won't go there. Yeah, because he made up songs all the time as he was driving and singing, but that's not this song. This song is called, Oh, the Anointing. And it says, Oh, the anointing. We're going to sing it in a minute. Your sweet anointing, Lord, breaking the yoke of sin and breaking the bonds of fear. Oh, the anointing. Your sweet anointing, Lord, bringing me into your presence, Lord. And I said, last week we talked about Jesus breaking every fetter. How does he do it? Through the anointing of the Spirit of God. Do you want to come and take a stone and anoint your stone? You can put it on the altar, or you can take it with you as a remembrance, whatever you want to do. I left mine here because I felt that's where I wanted it. Evil. Just ungodliness. Whatever your stone is, trust the anointing to meet the need. Pray with us. Everybody lift your stone and just pray and ask the Lord to touch your stones, what they represent. God, we just lift our hands before you. A people who love you, Lord, a people who trust in your word, and we stand upon the fact that you break every fetter, and we are bringing these fetters today, Lord, these bonds, these chains, these stones, Lord, and we're asking your power and your presence to take care of them. We're asking you, Lord, to bring deliverance. We want to see the sight brought to the blind, Lord, as your word said that you are anointed and that greater things than these shall we do. We want to see, Lord, your power and your anointing take care of these things that we bring before you this morning. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. We're going to sing that song. I think Audrey got it up on the overhead. I'm going to do it on the piano.
Oh, the anointing.
Father, we thank you for your anointing. We thank you for your presence, and we contend for it here, Lord. Oh, God, that you know us by name. You've said many, many times you know us. You see us, and you fill us, oh, God. Thank you for your presence today, Lord. Thank you for the stones of remembrance that we're going to claim in Jesus' name because they have been anointed. Oh, hallelujah. Go with us today, Lord, in your sweet, sweet presence. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen and amen.